te pūrere hua. Te wārawa ki rungāra.
Kia ora, my name is Whareu Slaisand and welcome to the Oho Ake Books Podcast. Today I want to talk about Matariki, which is New Zealand Māori for the Pleiades, or Pleiades. Now, the Pleiades have been instrumental in my conscious awakening and my understanding of so much. Massive part of my life in so many ways, and I'm really looking forward to sharing with you some of my experiences with the Pleiades and the beings from that area, from that particular star cluster, and the sheer ridiculousness of some of these experiences, which has also been enlivening and allowed me to realize that reality is quite magical if you have an open mind and an open heart. So let's start with my first interaction with the Pleiades and the beings from there. Now, in Nelson in 1994-95, I was spending a lot of time in that region over the late summer and early fall, picking apples. I did three seasons in a row up there. Actually, it might have been four seasons in a row. It was four seasons in one day. Yeah, four seasons and 4 years, not in one day. And I think that part of the world at that time was very, very special. And I've been quite blessed to be in certain parts of the world at certain times, to be part of a conglomeration of energy that has really been bubbly, effervescent, and incredibly powerful in regards to moving the culture forward due to what was being discussed and debated and talked about and incorporated and integrated into people's lives. Now, in Nelson in 1994-95, there was a nexus of people in this part of the world who were conscious, who were aware, who were implicitly involved in furthering that culture forward by opening their hearts up, opening their minds up, and also being drug-free, like straight edge. Because later on in my life, my personal life, I began to get involved with people who were the opposite of this. But at this time, this was a big thing for me, to come into a space where people were straight edge, drug-free, totally conscious, but their expanded awareness was so encompassing. And to be a part of that vibrational frequency just uplifted my own personal growth, my own conscious awakening, and it really showed me many, many things that I had not seen before, that were right in front of me the whole time. Now, when I was in Nelson at the time, when I was in Motueka at the time, which is where I was picking apples, I'd come into Nelson most weekends and sometimes during the week if I had a day off to visit friends in the city, in the town. There was a house that I used to visit quite a lot. There was a woman there called Gabby, a Swiss woman who lived there, and the house was a nexus for a lot of people in Nelson. Would come there quite often to hang out with her and her energy that she brought to that place, and the people that lived in that house were very conscious and very spiritual and very funny, humorous, joyful people, really amazing people. And one of those people in that house was a woman called Kiriana Grace, a Māori woman, who was probably in her late 30s, early 40s when I met her, and she was very psychic. And in that beautiful garden they had at the back of the house, Kiriana used to do readings. Now, one day I decided to go and see her for a reading. So I went to her house, met her in the garden, and then she just would scan you. She'd look at you from head to toe and scan your aura. And then she'd go, okay, and then she'd start writing. And she'd write like 5-6 pages, sometimes 10 pages, just keep writing and writing and writing. And then you go make a cup of tea and you bring one out for her and one for yourself, and you sit in front of her and let her write. And occasionally she'd look up and look at you again and scan you again, and then she'd keep writing. And that day that I went to see her, she said to me, she scanned me first, and then she said to me, you know what, I need to go and choose a book from my library. You know, you don't need a reading today, you need to go and choose a book. So I got up from my seat and thought, okay, cool, no worries, I'll go and choose a book from your library. That sounds groovy, I'm into it. So I went into her house, and this is a house with, I consider it to be a three-story house, but it was two stories with a landing. And the landing was where Kiriana's bedroom was. So I walked into Kiriana's bedroom and turned right, just to the right of the door, and there was a bookshelf sitting there with a three-tiered bookshelf, All the books are pushed up against the wall beneath the window, so that would have been between 4 and 6 inches at the most from the edge of the bookshelf to where the books were, right? So I looked at the first row of books on the top shelf, nothing caught my attention. In the second row, scanned that one, nothing caught my attention. Went to the final, the ground row, scanned that, nothing caught my attention. So I thought, well, that's pointless, I might as well just leave. I walked down the stairs and then I heard a donk, donk, donk. And I turned around, went back into her room, and then from the middle of the middle shelf, a book had been pulled out and tossed onto the floor. I picked it up, and that book was Barbara Marciniak's book, The Bringers of the Dawn. And I was just like, does this shit happen every day here? You know what I mean? I'm like, what just happened here? Who did that? Who pulled that book out? This is just too weird. Like, I'm just starting my conscious awakening at this time, right? I'm so fresh to this, all this mystical, spooky shit. Even though I've grew up with it, I'm still not really involved in it at the time. I've just come out of university. I've had some huge, huge shifts and awakenings in my own personal life. And I have been possessed. Yes, this has happened before I come to Kiriana's house, but I'm still in the space where, like, this is beyond the ordinary. Let's put it that way. So I pick up this book. Yeah, I take it home with me, and I read it in 3 days straight. I couldn't put it down. And I integrated this information. I just integrated it with my DNA, and I just felt everything in that book. To me, it just completely resonated with who I was. The resonation of that book in my being, it just came together. In that process of that happening for me, I had this understanding that there was something beyond the earthly realm, let's put it that way, and I had a pretty clear picture of what was going on Earth after reading that book, and who was pulling the strings, and how long they'd been here for. Not long after that, I met a Māori guy called Ratu, which means standing sun. And Ratu was quite a unique individual, lovely man to me. He was awesome to me, so nice to me, so kind to me. And he used to walk around in a wetsuit, bare feet, a white woolen jumper when it got cold, and a white toque or a white woolen hat with the rune lightning attached to a piece of string on that hat. And he was mystical as they get. He was like a wealth of knowledge, both from Maritanga and also from the modern world as well, but also deeply involved in this mystery school knowledge as well. Like, very, 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 very unconscious man. Now, I saw Ratu at a festival called Flight to Light down at Fox River on the west coast of the South Island. And when I was down there with him, I had in my pocket, I didn't have until the last day, I had this piece of acid that was super strong. And at the time, I wasn't doing any drugs, so I wasn't really prepared to take it. I didn't want to take it. In fact, I spent 3 days in a sweat lodge at Fox River, and it was amazing, with some incredibly beautiful and powerful mentor Māori men that I had in my life at the time. They were just amazing. But on the last day, Ratu and I went for a walk, sat on a huge hillside looking out towards the ocean, and we got that piece of acid out, we chopped it in half. I had half and he had half. And we sat there watching the sun go down, and it just started to come on, and then the sun was setting down, setting in the sky. It was pretty fucking epic, I have to say. This huge swell was coming in. It must have been about 4 meters. It was massive swell coming in the west coast. But a beautiful day. A beautiful day, and it was incredibly picturesque. He turned to me without me even mentioning my connection with this book and said to me, "It is time for you and Matariki to connect." I mean, I couldn't make this shit up. It happened. I looked at him and I thought, how did you know about what? And he got up and walked away. I watched him walk away thinking, like, that guy is on the next level. I don't know what level that is, but he's on the next level for sure. What's going on here? So took his advice. I sat there, looking out towards the horizon as the sun went down and was gone. As the twilight began to encroach across from the east towards the west, I reached out into the galaxy, imagining where my Tariki was, because it wasn't rising in the west. It wasn't. It would be behind me. I envisaged the cluster of stars in my head, in my mind's eye, and I said, I am here. I opened up my eyes, and then moments later, there was a flashbulb. And what a flashbulb is like a light that kind of, like a spotlight that flashes on and then off again in the sky. And the flashbulb went off on the horizon. The moment I saw it, I felt this energy pass over me like a wave over my whole being, my whole body. And when it hit me, I felt my heart expand in a way that it was so encompassing that my entire being just felt like I was just on fire with this love and compassion and stillness and gentleness. And I got up from where I was. I walked off to the festival that was going on next to the beach. I saw friends and I hugged them and I told them that I loved them. And they're like, wow, what's going on with you, man? I'm like, oh, I'm all good. I'm all good. I'm like, you feel really amazing. I'm like, yeah, I feel really grounded. So this energy has imbued itself in my body. And then I found Ratu next to the river opposite the sweat lodge with this cat I'd never met before who just turned up all of a sudden. And this guy was making cups of tea next to a fire. He had his tent out. And Ratu and I and this cat, I can't remember his name, man. I can't remember his name. We drank tea all night long and didn't say a word to each other and just listened to music. We're coming from across the other side of the river where the stage was and the DJs were playing. And I can remember just feeling this imminence. And often he'd put his hand on my shoulder and say, how are you feeling, bro? I'd be like, yeah, amazing, bro. I feel amazing. He's like, good, good, good. Like he knew what was going to happen. So trippy, literally trippy. It was crazy, man, totally crazy. So after that happened, after we went back to our respective places, he went back to Rangihatea and the Golden Bay. And I went back to Motueka to pick apples again, back to my seasonal job. I went back into Nelson 1 week, not long before the end of the season, actually, and the apple picking season, that is. And I went back into Nelson to visit my friends, and I remember walking into Gabby's place and walking around the side of the house into the garden, and there was Kiriana standing there in front of the garden with her hands up, like she was like, don't shoot me. Kind of pose, facing away from me into the garden and singing Waiata. And I got within maybe 10 feet of her and I hit this energetic bubble. I walked straight into it. Oof. I could totally feel it push me away. I'm like, whoa, what is that? And it literally pushed me away. Like I had to move, step back away from it. I went back into the house, sat at the big banquet table that was in Gabby's house, sat at the table. Then Gabby came down and said to me, oh, you can't go out there. There's a waka out there. And there's some beings from the Pleiades, from Matariki, who have come into the garden and anchored themselves into a waka effigy. A waka is a New Zealand Māori canoe. Have anchored themselves in that canoe. And they have the seven attributes of this new golden age that's coming into this particular epoch. And they're anchoring it here in the garden in Nelson at this time. And it's a whole lot of interesting stuff to come to me. I looked at the garden. I was just like, what the? That's amazing. Oh, my God. And I just couldn't. I was just like, I could totally have the experience of knowing that it was there by feeling it and walking into it. And I'm like, this is like living in a fairy tale, kind of living in a story, right? You know, this is so magical. What a magical time to be alive in my body, having these experiences. Cut to a couple more weeks later, I was working and I had a day off. I decided to come back into the city again, back into Nelson. I came around to the house and no one was there. No one was home. So I left the house, went into Nelson. Couldn't find anybody in Nelson. Went to Zippy's Cafe for a coffee. Had a chai, I should say, Zippy's Cafe in Nelson. And then I had this urge, this really strong urge, to go up into the forest behind Fairfield House. Now, Fairfield House is up behind the cathedral in Nelson. So I walked up towards Fairfield House and I walked into the forest. And when I walked into the forest, I was drawn to the left rather than to the right. I began to walk up to the left, and then I saw about 35 women all sitting down in meditation around these two gigantic redwood trees. And Kellyanna Grace was sitting there meditating, and she opened up her eyes and saw me and smiled at me. And I just kind of sat down where I was. I began to meditate with the woman. And about 15 minutes into my meditation, the woman began to sing Waiata, and they all stood up and they all walked out of the forest. And Kellyanna walked out last, put a hand on my shoulder and said, "Come with me." I walked out with her down to the house. And then as the woman did back then, we had ice cream. That was our treat. We had some ice cream. And she pulled me aside and she said, "You, they called you. They called you up there. You're the only male they called up." I was like, "What?" She said, we came back to the house. All the women came back to the house. And they did a ritual together around the waka. And then they carried the waka, the etheric waka, and they carried it up to Fairfield House and put it between these two redwood trees on the ground and left it there because they wanted to be there and anchor that energy into the forest there. But they called to you. They wanted you to be there. And I was just like, oh, my God. How crazy can it get any crazier? Can it get any wilder? Can it get any more beautiful? My heart was just fully blown open. I felt so much love and so much appreciation and gratitude for that moment to be a part of that process, to be there, to be the only male who was allowed to come there, who was asked to come there. It was beautiful for me. It was life-changing. I mean, I was bawling my eyes out when I heard that from Kellyanna. I was so emotive for me and so powerful. Now, the next year after that, I came back again to pick apples. And I met a woman called Annette Lyon. And I called her Moonbear. When I first met her, I saw her as a First Nations person, woman, walking through a field of tall grass with her hands splayed out, moving through the grass. And someone called her Moonbear, and she turned around, and I saw her. And that's the vision I had of her when I first met her. When I first introduced myself to her, shook her hand, and gave her a hug. I saw her as this person. So for me, it became quite clear that I would call her as a nickname. Initially, I'd call her Moonbear. I told her the story, and she loved the name, so I called her Moonbear. Now, her and I had a very short and brief and powerful connection. And I feel as though she was Pleiadian star family now, looking back at the situation. I really feel that. And what our last experience was for me was probably the most telling and most important connection I have had with Matariki, with the Pleiades. It was like having the final piece of the puzzle put together. Annette and I went our separate ways in Melbourne in the winter of 1997. She went to Germany and I stayed in Australia. And the morning of us saying goodbye to each other, as couples do, of course, we made love. And it was insanely beautiful and powerful. And that was the first time I really understood that a woman's heart is a portal, to the universe. And Annette's portal was enormous. And through her kindness and her love and her grace and her power, she took me through the portal of her heart, out of my body, into space, into the vacuum of space, and in front of the Pleiades, Matariki, like up close. When I had an enormous orgasm at the end of our love-making session, I remember leaving my body completely, going through the portal of her heart and arriving instantaneously in front of Matariki in space, hovering there, watching, looking at these beautiful, beautiful stars and hearing a female's voice saying, "Welcome home," and then being drawn back into my body as I had my physical ejaculation and looking into Annette's eyes and going like, "Oh my God, what, that was the most beautiful gift you could ever have given me." And it really was. It was, from my perception, I feel as though Annette and I were star family from the Pleiades. And she was a catalyst for so many experiences that brought me to a place of greater understanding and wisdom about my own incarnation in this lifetime and other incarnations, and also my star family. Massive, enormous. It would be another 7 years before I really connected again with Matariki, with the Pleiades. I came back to New Zealand in 2002 from Vancouver with a drug addiction to cocaine. And I came back here to get clean with my best friend at the time. And that worked. We got clean. And when I got clean and I quit cocaine completely out of my life, and I got clean, I began to feel again. I began to be able to reach out and expand my awareness. And one of the first experiences I had when I was able to actually hold the space to expand my awareness in a way that was far more conducive to spiritual and conscious awareness and awakening again, to get back in that, back in the game, I guess you could say, I had a pretty strong vision that came to me. And that vision became a short story called All Roads Lead to Parihaka. And I feel 100%, 110% even, that vision was bestowed upon me from Matariki, from the Pleiades. That short story is quite powerful in regards to the messages it sends. And I would have never have known that at the time, as far as an ego kind of perspective, as a small picture ego perspective, that short story now is more poignant than ever. That first version of that short story I wrote in 2003. It's had many revisions over the years, but I read it now and it is so poignant in regards to what's happening today in 2021. It seems like, oh my God. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's prophetic in that sense, that it's like it's a prophecy, but it is very poignant. For sure, the message in there, in that short story, and also the actual timeline that short story goes on. Because at the moment, at this point, there is some similarities between those two things, the timeline and the story itself. Matariki didn't stop there for me in regards to my connection to that star system and my family. As I moved through the early part of the 21st century, I often spent my mornings in the late fall, the early winter, catching Matariki, rising in the Māori New Year from a hilltop in Wellington somewhere very early in the morning, freezing my nuts off outside, but waiting for it to rise on the horizon and seeing it and welcoming it into the year with intention. And with that process, I also welcomed in my ability, or my choice, I should say, rather than ability, my choice to start writing again and creating Oho Ake. Now, Sanctum I'd written the first draft of in Vancouver. I went back to that book again and began to write it again, second draft. And as I began to write that, my channeling work, my memory of my lifetime on Atlantis, my memory of the last part of that incarnation and what I did and who and what influenced me in the way that they did, I began to see the Pleiades in a different light, the Pleiades in a different light. I realized there and then that much as there was light and expansion coming from this part of the galaxy, it was also darkness as well. And Sanctum is a testimony to that. And I feel as though my first incarnations in the Pleiades were very light, were very expansive, very heart-based. But there was a being from the Pleiades, a rogue element in the Pleiades, that influenced me my last part of my incarnation on Atlantis. And it's not a pretty picture to paint. And I don't want to get into it too much here, but it became quite evident to me that there was another side of that coin, of a coin that I was looking at my palm of my hand for so many years. I turned it over, and that was important for me to acknowledge that, especially in the book Sanctum, but also the fact that I was able to recognize the former life in the Pleiades, where it was far more lighter and positive, and also that darkness as well in the Pleiades as well, and incorporate those two energies together to create a whole picture. And that was important to me, really important to come to that place to understand that it wasn't all light and love, and it was actually quite dark and sinister and malevolent too, which was a very interesting way to look at the situation, because before my experiences had been so light with the Pleiades with Mata Reiki, so having that was really interesting, for sure. And I'll leave it there tonight. I'm recording this at night time. It's about 10 to 9, actually, 9 p.m. on a Monday night. I finished work today. My day hustle's finished. I got home today and I've done a video. I'm doing a podcast now. So thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. It means everything to me. Mate wa. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye. Dide, dide, ho. Dide, dide, ho.